Leuk dat je luistert naar de Divine Business Podcast. De podcast voor ondernemers die zakelijk succes willen realiseren in samenwerking met God.
Wij zijn Laura Pelger en Tessa van Olst. Twee ambitieuze ondernemers die graag leren van de experts. Hun wijsheid en inzichten delen we in deze podcast graag met jou.
In deze aflevering luister je naar het tweede deel van ons interview met Mark en Julie Appleyard. Mark en Julie komen oorspronkelijk uit Australië, maar wonen inmiddels al geruime tijd in Amerika. Hun werk en missie is om christelijk zakelijk leiders toe te rusten om vanuit hemels perspectief praktisch leiding te kunnen geven aan hun werk en business. En daarbij tevens bewust te zijn dat hun werk relevant is voor God. Geniet in deze aflevering van de praktische wijsheid en visie die Mark en Julie met ons delen, gericht op het werken en ondernemen in de maatschappij.
Yeah, building your business, when you're building your business, you're building a vehicle to bring people into encounters with His always perfect love. Yeah. If you're not doing that, then you're just building a business. If you're building a kingdom business, then that's what you're building. Mm. And it's being able to be honest enough with yourself to be able to say, which am I building? Don't say you're building a kingdom business if you've got another agenda other than bringing people into encounters with His always perfect love. We often say there's two things that you get to build as a kingdom, as a Christian business leader. You get to build your thingdom or God's kingdom. Yeah. Which one are you going to build, thingdom or kingdom? And if you're building kingdom, then you're building a vehicle to bring people into those encounters. Yeah. That's the whole. You're going
that's
up.
It. That's the only thing that you're building.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
You're going after hearts, not wallets. Wallets will follow hearts. That's the nature of the kingdom. Yeah. But you're going after hearts, not wallets. And you keep building the bigger business because it means your vehicle is getting bigger for greater impact bring more people into encounters with His always perfect love. Yeah.
And just to that point, you look at some of the examples that are out in the world today. God's truth is God's truth, whether it's used by Christian business leaders or not. Yeah. You look at companies like Amazon and let's just look at Amazon. Yeah. Wallets follow hearts. Amazon tapped into what the world wants.
Yeah.
And it worked out a way of advertising that so that people's hearts would go, oh, yeah, I want that thing. Wallets follow hearts. The principle is there and it grew an empire. Right?
Yeah.
Christians tend to look at that and go, oh yeah, that's worldly. So we scrap the principle and start to try and do something different because that's not godly. It's not a godly use of the principle. But truth is still truth because Jesus is truth and truth is absolute. So if it's truth, then God can use it. Right? Yeah. So if wallets follow hearts, then we need to go after what God put in the hearts of men for Him. Mm. Not what the world has twisted the hearts of men to want, but what God put in the hearts of men. And if we go after that and draw hearts, then wallets will still follow hearts and businesses will still grow for the purpose of going after the hearts of men. I will make you fishers of men.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yes. It's going after their hearts for the kingdom of God, not just for profit and gain. Mm. It's for the kingdom. Mm. Yeah. And God will bless. And God will bless His principles. Mm. Yeah, he will. We know He will because that's who He is. But we have to be aligned right and we have to be going after the right thing. Because if you just want to go after profit, that's great. But don't call it a kingdom business. Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's not kingdom if you're doing it for profit. Mm. You'll get all of these other things besides if you go after the hearts. Yeah.
So and you can't build that if you don't build the people within your organization the same kind of way.
Right.
So your organization is building big people with Jesus in them.
Right.
There's many powerful decisions as a business leader you get to make, but I think one of, if not the most powerful decision you get to make is this. Are you going to use people to build your dream or use your dream to build people? It's a powerful decision.
It's just
amazing. Thin line,
right? Uh-huh.
It's just thin line.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And if you use people to build your dream, you build thingdom. If you use the dream to build people, you build kingdom.
It's amazing.
It is a profoundly different outcome for the way that we view people.
People will feel it.
And you can go after hearts with integrity, because the world can smell the real thing a mile away and fakery. And sadly, the body of Christ is known as for fakery. You know, we're all, they're all churches using the next slick marketing campaign or look at our kids' service or our ministry for this, that. It's all fakery to try and draw people into our thing. Well, that's no different to what any other business does. But if we're growing big people with, you know, full of Jesus, and then using this to build those people up, people can see the real thing and go, I'd want to be a part of that organization. I'd want to be a part of that team. And now it's easier to go to show that you're genuinely going after hearts and not wallets.
Amazing. So now you laid out one principle about the hearts and the wallets, but you were talking about principles.
Can you
tell some more principles?
Another
principle. All right, let's think. What's far away?
Good. Okay, well, that was the only one the Lord dropped into right at that point. So,
I think the concept of think, speak, live, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, is that for the, again, we were talking about kingdom business leaders, and that's the assumption here, is that the Lord said right at the outset of this thing when we started Anathan, he said, people are striving to live toward a place they should be living from. They strive to live toward heaven when they should be living from heaven to earth. And that meant that there was the principle of how are we going to use future promises versus present realities. So I was thinking of speaking of myself when I say this, I was treating a lot of present realities as though they were future promises. There were things that Jesus died for and paid for that I thought I would get at the end, but in actual fact I get now. And for example, one of those, and perhaps the most profound, is this, that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's a present reality, not a future promise. And so as I sat and wrapped my head around that, I go, that's insane. Because geographically, Mark is sitting right here in Dordrecht, Netherlands right now, but in actual fact, he's also in heaven at the same time. I mean, two places at once. I mean, mind blown right there. It's insane to try and think about that. But I thought, well, how on earth does that work? Because I'm right here. And again, our Romans 8:16 verse, where God's spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we're God's children. This spirit-to-spirit connection positions me in heaven right now. So this led me to a whole host of other questions. Well, if I'm in heaven and I'm seated with Jesus, where's Jesus? Because heaven's a pretty big place in my reckoning. So we go along and we go, well, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Like, wow, now I'm that close to the Father. How cool is that? This is pretty cool. So the next lot of questions. How does Jesus relate to the Father? If I'm seated with him, I'd like to know how they get along. So on the earth, we see that he only said what the Father taught him to say. He only did what he saw the Father doing. So I can guarantee that they're in constant dialogue and I'm seated right there with him while he's in constant dialogue. I can eavesdrop in on the conversations of heaven.
Wow.
That's a powerful principle right there. And that is not a future promise. That's a present reality. So in business, that is how powerful he's made us to be. That he has paid for that. It's a price he's paid. It's time Jesus got what he paid for.
Yeah.
And that is sons and daughters that are listening to the conversations of heaven because they're there and releasing it upon the earth. On earth as it is in heaven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's beautifully put. I haven't heard it like that. I've heard a lot of things.
Yeah.
But like that, that's different.
Because that means that you can give a word of knowledge, you can give a word of wisdom, you can say what needs to be said in the moment because you're hearing it.
Yeah.
You're hearing it in your spirit.
Yeah.
You're hearing it with the ears of your heart. You're seeing it with the eyes of your heart. And able to release that and do that. And why do some people just have that knack of being able to say the right thing at the right time? Because they're in this constant dialogue. And one of the things that we teach when we're in ministry, when we're in a position of teaching others about God, we tend to take our Bible and we fall into the rhythm and the lifestyle of, here is what the Bible says and I'm going to give it to you. here is what the Bible says, and I'm going to give it to you. And we just, we do this, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What we want to encourage people to do, and what we've really tried to do, is I'm going to take from the Word of God and apply it to me and my own heart first. I'm going to devour the Word of God first. And then when I give it to you, it comes from my heart. Wow. I'm not just doing this. I'm not just throwing it at you from what the Bible says. I'm actually taking it in and wrestling it through and living it out. And then and it has more authority that way. Exactly. And one of the things that the people said of Jesus when he came to the earth and he started teaching, he says, wow, his teaching is different. It comes with real authority. Mm. Why does it come with authority? Because he spent his life devouring the scriptures and interacting with God over them. So that when it came time to give it away, it was part of who he was. Mm. Wow. And so many of us want to give it away. The Bible says this, but it comes with so much judgment when we do it that way.
That's right.
When we take it in, and it's not, and I have to wrestle with it for myself. When I deliver it to someone else, there's no judgment because I've walked that and I know that. Yeah. It comes with compassion and it comes with power and authority because I've been there. And I've walked that out before I'm trying to give it to you. For me to be able to give you anything that I haven't wrestled with is just an idea and a thought. It's, you know, well, I know it says in here somewhere, maybe you want to go and journal on that. And it would be better for me to say, I know this verse really speaks to that. Go and take that before the Lord and you sit with him and you hear what he's got to say about that because then you get to wrestle that through, you get to walk that out, you get to internalize that, and then you can give it away to someone with power and authority.
I love them when we're in Dingley and we had the supermarket in the street there, and they sold bread in the supermarket.
That's right.
And you'd walk past and the automatic doors would open up as they do in supermarkets when you walk close to them. But unless you really wanted bread, you'd never go in there to get it. It was manufactured bread and it was, you know, made in bulk and packaged and bought in. Well, just three or four steps from that door was the doors of a proper bakery. And they were smart. They had those plastic strips and they would have like a little fan that would blow the smell of the bread out onto the street. Oh, yes. So whether you wanted bread or not, you often found yourself suddenly in front of the display case going, what am I doing here? And I'm buying bread.
And what am I going to get? Because this is really good.
Because it's just that, oh, something smells so good. And what the point that Julie's saying there is that when we're just throwing the Word of God out at people in that judgmental way, that's just like packaged bread. And there's thousands of people around the world that are doing that with the Word of God. Mm. But you want to do that to the heart first. That's a fresh bread. Yeah. And with fresh bread, this is the craziest thing. It's what happens. You turn around one day as a leader and you go, where did these people come from? Where did they come from? Because it's like,
why are they following?
There's
us?
Something different about this person. Wow. I've got to be around them. Yeah, this is fresh bread. It tastes real good when we're around these people. Why? Because it's coming out of this thing first. Yeah. And it's incredibly true of the nature of the Word of God. What do we want to feed them? We want to feed them this prepackaged stuff. Here's the five principles. Bang, bang, bang. Go do that.
Additives and
What do you want to feed them? The life story, the encounter with His always perfect love. Yeah. Like invite it into that. Pardon me. Invited into that for themselves. That's the transformative stuff right there.
Amazing.
And again, there's no shortcut to it. Right. The shortcut is to the prepackaged stuff. Mass produce, you can do that. But this other stuff, there's no shortcut to that.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
It's actually the essence of following Jesus.
Yeah.
Personally, for yourself first.
Yeah.
That's also the power of a partner, yes.
Yeah.
That's a really key thing the Lord's brought our way. There's, you know, all of us have a yes that we get to partner to heaven or partner to something. What are we going to say yes to? So in the morning when I get out of bed, I flip my legs over the edge of the bed and I say, Jesus, today, before you've even asked me a question, my answer is yes. Mm. Now direct my feet where you want them to go, and I mean it. I want to hitch my yes to Jesus. And hitch it so carefully. But hitching his yes is not always to the wonderful, great, fabulous things. It's also yes to, okay, let's go deeper. Let's just pull back a little bit. Yeah. Yes, I will ask that question. Or yes, we will address this issue. Or yes, we will press into this new thing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I want to partner my yes to heaven because the power of a partnered yes is phenomenal when it's hitched firmly to where his love wants to take you.
Yeah.
It's also yes to sacrifice.
It is, exactly right.
Yeah. That's a big sacrifice that you have given.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think the most obvious one, So my mum, on my personal front, that's where you're leading.
Yeah, I think so, pretty much.
So when we're in the States and early on, we were there on a 2-year visa. And then we transition across to permanent residency. Well, in the American permanent residency process, it takes about 18 months to go through it. And there's about a 6-month window where if you leave the country, you can't get back in.
Because we were on a temporary visa to start with.
And so what it does, it declares that you no longer intend to be temporary, you intend to be permanent. So you can't get another temporary visa. And so it stops you. And so you can leave, but just forget coming back in. So therefore, we've got kids in school, we've got ministry, you know, really starting to take off and things happening in the local business community. And my mum got very sick and had cancer. Now I'm the youngest of 7 and the only believer apart from her in the family. And it became very apparent that she was in the last days and there was nothing we could do to get out of the country and come back in. So we had a powerful choice to make. Do we go back and I do the funeral for her? I'm a pastor and I'm the only believer in the family and she's a believer. Or do we stay and hold our ground in ministry? I mean, that was a huge sacrifice to make. And I'll never forget, it's the hardest phone call I've ever had to make because she was still coherent to make the call and say, Mum, I love you, but I can't come back.
But she understood that because she been here. We'd brought her out a year before and she'd stayed with us for 3 months. Now I'm going to go, that's really bad. But so she had met the people that we were ministering with. She had seen the work that we were doing and she was really proud of him. And she knew. So I think while she was disappointed, I think she also really understood why we were making that. Yeah. And she gave him her blessing to stay and minister and be where God had called him. Because as a believer, she understood that. And she'd been and she'd seen what we were doing and she understood what was at stake. His other siblings, not so much, but she understood what was at stake. So so what ended up happening was we filmed the eulogy for her at our church in Waxhaw in North Carolina. She passed away on a Monday morning, the 21st of January in 2013, and it was about 6:13 in the morning or 6:21 in the morning it was. And by about 8 o'clock that morning, Mark put a thing out on Facebook saying, anybody who's interested, because they'd all known that she wasn't well and had been praying for her and praying for us and all of that. So he put a thing out on Facebook just saying, we're going to record her eulogy at 6 o'clock so that we can send it and they can use it at her funeral later in the week. Anybody who wants to come and support us in that, you know, that would be really great. Well, about 60 people came out. Which just gave us a real sense of closure because it was the people that she had met and the people that she had made friends with while she was here in 3 months. She doesn't meet a stranger and she makes friends with everybody for life. And as Mark often says, she'll hug anything that moves. And if it doesn't move, she'll get out and push it so it moved so she can hug it. But we had 60 people come. So we didn't have to record a eulogy to an empty room or just a camera. He actually delivered the eulogy to a room full of people that she had impacted. And then we're able to send that back. And that became part of her funeral service and her memorial service was that she had an impact beyond the town that she lived in all of her life. And she barely travelled. She made one trip to New Zealand and one trip to us in her late years. And but she had an impact.
Wow. About 12 months or so later, there were still some areas of closure that hadn't happened for me, and Julie was...
Because we hadn't gotten back to Australia.
And the permanent residency had come through by that stage. So Julie said, you've just got to get back. You need to just get back and try and wrap your head around this back in the context where she used to be, where you grew up, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I won't worry, go into all the details, but I ended up getting back there. And where my mum and my dad, and I've got a brother that's buried there as well, where they're buried is on the south coast of Australia, southeast coast, and it's very barren, it's very windswept, it's very lonely and isolated, but it's for them it's home. And so I'll never forget, I've studied psychology and counselling and things as well, so I understand the cognitive processes of grief. I've partnered with many people through that journey, understand it up here, but you got the issue right here. You know, that 18-inch journey is the longest journey. I'll never forget, I get back and I've literally travelled from where we are in North Carolina to where I grew up, about 1,500 miles northeast, and you're on the exact opposite side of the world from where you start from. So I have literally travelled to the other side of the world to stand in front of a 6-foot plot of dirt. And I'm standing there, and in my mind, I'm going, here I am. I'm meant to experience closure. What on earth is closure? What am I meant to do right now? I'm meant to burst out into tears. Am I meant to say some nice words? What on earth does this look like? I'm here and I'm standing right here. There's no one, just me and the seagulls and a bit of misty rain. That's all it was. And then out of nowhere, as clear as I've ever heard the voice of God, and again, I guess it all comes back full circle. Jesus said, he goes, Mark, I'm inviting you to pray a new kind of prayer. I'm going, what do you mean? And he goes, you and I have both got serious skin in the game. It's time we got what we paid for. And it was just that invitation to a depth of praying that I never even knew existed or that I even had permission to go after. And that's been, from that day to this, that has just been constantly, Jesus, it's time we both got what we paid for. Mm. Let's go after this. Yes, we will say yes to this impossible situation. Yes, we will go to that land, that country. We will do that crazy thing because you've called us to do it. Yes, we will reach into that business community. Mm-hmm. We will speak life in dead places because it's time we got what we paid for. So the sacrifice is very deep and real, but it gives you a spiritual collateral that you didn't have before.
Right, because everything that ever happens to you is an invitation into deeper intimacy with Him. Yeah. Whether it be the loss of a loved one, whether it be a financial crisis, whether it be a health crisis, whether it be a celebration of something, everything is an invitation into deeper intimacy. And when you start looking at life that way...
Sacrifice. Sacrifice through love is the currency of heaven.
Yeah,
that's really inspiring. I think it's good.
We've been talking heavy for an hour and a half.
Oh, really? Wow!
Thank you so much for investing in the podcast, investing in the Christian entrepreneurs, and thank you.
It's an honor. It is an honor, and bless you guys and what you're doing too. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Yeah. Well, Lord, may the meanderings of our mind be lost forever, but the truth of anything you've said deposit in our hearts, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Great.
Leuk dat je hebt geluisterd naar deze podcast. Als je geïnspireerd bent geraakt, deel het dan op je social media en tag ons @DivineBusinessPodcast. En als je op de hoogte wilt blijven, zodra er een nieuwe aflevering online komt, abonneer je dan even op dit kanaal. En als je dat toch doet, zouden we het leuk vinden als je een review achterlaat over hoe deze podcast jouw leven inspireert. We zien je graag de volgende keer tijdens een nieuwe aflevering van de Divine Business Podcast.